Team Hicks, as we do each and every Monday.
How would you describe what happened in the final 3.5 minutes of that game? Were you aware that, Mitch had hurt himself and a change was going to happen, or was it something that you were down further on the sideline and had no idea what was going on?
Yeah. You know, we're two different sides of the bench. You know, we're about 30 yards down the way, and we're working on the things that we got to get done defensively. And right. So, you know, I wasn't privy to really what they had going on down there.
Were you surprised when you saw it?
You know, things happen during the course of the game. Guys go up, guys come down. It's just how it goes. Surprise wouldn't be the word. Was something happening on the field, and were guys wondering what the situation was? Yes, but you know, it's football.
Do you still have confidence in Mitch Trubisky as the quarterback?
Most definitely, most definitely. There will never be a waiver of confidence in any one of my teammates because I know what they put into this game.
There you go, Akiem Hicks. Just about 24 hours ago, right here on Waddle and Sylvie. And tomorrow should be an interesting day because we'll get an update from practice. And who made the prediction? Someone made the prediction that they would guess, maybe it was Weider or JD, where they said they would probably guess that Mitch will be listed as limited all week. And then they'll make a decision by the end of the week or at game time.
It was the doctor,
time.
Pro Football Doc.
Is he the one who said that?
Yeah, he said he expects him to be listed as limited in practice and then but play because he doesn't. He was also saying that he believed that Trubisky could have finished the game.
I think we all do, don't we? I mean, Trubisky wasn't the one who asked out. If Trubisky couldn't go like Jay couldn't go, we'd all respect that, right? But what happened was the head coach said, I'm pulling you, and then had this heart-to-heart, and then told us the only reason he was pulled was because of the injury. But I think we all are on the same page that there's got to be some bad play that went into that decision.
I thought at the moment, I think now, it was a combination of both. I think that the injury occurred, and there are some throws that you've seen people put up on Twitter today. There is some video where you can tell that he's at the very least he's affected by something from a throwing standpoint. So you can tell that after he got kneed in the backside of the hip or wherever he did, that there was something that happened. But I also feel like that combined with the fact that they were completely out of sorts. So I thought it was a combo decision.
You know, it's been weird, the comparisons between Nagy's second year and Trestman's second year. We've never wanted it to be true. But whether he's Trestman 2.0, the 12-4 year was higher than Trestman's first year. They didn't get to the playoffs in Trestman's first year. They were 8-8 when they lost?
I think so.
The Packers game in horrible fashion, too.
I mean, we're going to have a team that's selfish and undisciplined.
That's awesome. The thing that, and that's the low standard for where it gets bad. Like those were back-to-back 50 burgers.
Yeah.
Like, and every time we thought it was going, it could not get worse. Like something else happened, whether it was Aaron Cromer giving a story to, you know, what was it, Ian Rappaport? I think it was backbiting with Jay Cutler. Whether it was Brandon Marshall fighting with Robbie Gould and Lance Briggs. I mean, was it the start of that year? Didn't Lance Briggs go out for the restaurant opening?
Yes, the double nickel.
I mean, you can't remember people tried to downplay that. No big deal. It's the first week of practice for the opening game. And Lance Briggs says, you know what? I'm going to go to Sacramento to open up my barbecue restaurant.
Didn't he get a Veterans Day off?
It's just a walk-through, Sylvie. No big deal. Well, you guys make it such a big deal about this.
Right, isn't that right? Isn't that what happened?
That led to a lot of quality parody songs.
Oh, yes. So this year is trending that way. I don't know if it will ever get as ugly as that. But the one thing that Trestman's year taught us in year two was every time we thought they hit rock bottom, the next week happened, and then that would go to a newer low. So my question to you guys would be, after what happened on national TV, not knowing why Mitch got benched, the heart-to-heart, not being able to score, you looked awful. The Rams tried to hand you that game.
Oh, yeah.
You tried to be cute with the stupid option play. You know, there's so many layers to that loss, so then it culminates with you pulling the quarterback, and then they were on the different page on the press conference. One said he got hurt in the second quarter. The other guy said it was the fourth quarter. Do you believe it will just be mediocre football the rest of the way, and they'll play out the 5-11 year? Or do you guys believe
it can get worse?
That it will get worse. You're making the prediction that there will be another chapter to this where we're talking all week about an even dumber thing.
I don't think. Listen, I'm going to pick the Bears to beat the Giants. I'm not going to suggest to you they're going to trounce them. If they lose to the Giants at home, I think that that would probably, after what we saw in L.A. in front of a national audience, I think that would be the trough of the 2019 season.
That's true. Because
I'm not going to pick that to happen. But that, to me, I mean, have you seen these Giants? They're giving up an average of 32 points per game the last six games. They've lost six in a row. They are a hot
They lost to the
mess.
Jets, right, a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
Are they coming off the bye, though?
No, they played last week, yeah.
I ignored them then.
Yeah,
that's
a good move.
I'm trying to think.
They piled up a bunch of...
No, they are coming off the bye, aren't
that's
they?
That's what
they
I
had
thought.
The,
I knew I didn't
the
see
Jets.
Them.
They had the Jets the week before.
Yes, that's what I thought. I knew I didn't see Daniel Jones slinging it.
An extra week for Mitchell Trubisky.
I think Saquon Barkley had 13 carries for 1 yard against the Jets.
That's right.
He's been all banged up.
But he's not shutting it down. That was the big story a week ago.
He's not going to
shut it down.
You know that what they're saying, right?
He's hurt, though. That's
New
good
York's like, this is the get-right game for Saquon. Have you seen this Bears defense stop the run?
That's a good point, though. It could get lower. Like, because
well, that's it. That
it's
would
compounding
be
compounding on where we're at right now. We're adding
that's
to it.
That's the low, and then they lose to the Giants, and then on Thanksgiving, on the holiday, they get trounced by Jeff Driscoll. I mean, there's other different things. And then in Green Bay, the 50 burger appears. I mean, like, it could
it just
get worse.
Of course it would.
Followed up by a Sunday night affair.
It's all sunshine and blue skies going forward. No, I'm just telling you, the way that, to me, it gets worse is if you lose to these dreadful Giants at home after what you saw Sunday night.
No, that's not it. Rock bottom is going to be watching Mahomes play the Bears. That's going to be rock bottom. There's going to be no... I don't care what their record is. It doesn't matter. Watching Patrick Mahomes play against the Bears and seeing what could have been for an entire 3.5 hours, or however long the game is, that's going to be rock bottom.
We thought those two coaches would be fighting each other for like a big playoff position. I know they're in opposite conferences, but it's Nagy against the mentor, and Nagy's got a lot to prove, and he's going to have his team right in prime playoff position. And then it's Mahomes, the guy that the Bears passed up, and this is going to be one of the best games of the year. It's going to be brutal, and we'll probably be flex.
Or is rock bottom when John Gruden goes up to select with the 9th overall pick in next year's draft?
Bears!
If it's 9th, I mean, that may not be that bad.
By the way, this was Stan Weider. He tweeted this out almost an hour ago. How about this in terms of offensive ineptitude? The Bears have had 88 full possessions with Mitch Trubisky as their quarterback this season. 30 of those 88 full possessions have ended in 3 and outs. That's 34.1% of their possessions have ended in 3 and outs. In the past 5 games, it's 56 possessions and 23 3 and outs. That's 41.1% of their possessions in the past 5 games have been 3 and out.
Can't even pick up a first down. So that's our question. Do you believe this is rock bottom? And then they just go up and down. They don't play great football, but it's not terrible like these last few. And then we go off into the sunset into 2019.
I'm going to say no, that it's not rock bottom.
That's what I would vote on, too.
I would say no to the question, but
what if... Would you guys consider this rock bottom if at some point during the year Mitch Trubisky is pulled not due to injury but just because of pure ineffectiveness? Is that even lower? Like if Matt Nagy says a halftime of the game?
Yes, for sure.
So that I think that's...
And if Tyler Bray starts a game?
Oh, that's definitely in play. That feels like it's a possibility.
And then we've talked a lot about the relationship. Greeny said something interesting today. Then I'll get to the phone calls. I want to play you this from Get Up. Darren Orlovsky's been all over Nagy more so than being on Trubisky. And then listen to what Greeny said at the end. He's the second guy on ESPN to talk about maybe Trubisky or Nagy not coming back next year.
The quarterback-coach relationship all season has been odd. Like, you watch the... It's almost like the coach does not believe in the quarterback, and he is going to make it a purposeful point to prove this kid can't play. Everybody in the world has said, play with tempo and get him outside the pocket. Yet he hasn't.
Yep.
He's a smart coach. How come you still have yet to do that? And then all of a sudden, oh, his hip's bothering him. I'm not going to play him in the most important part of the season. And then 2 days later go, nah, he's our starter. He's our starter. I think you're right that this general manager has stepped in and said, no, that kid's playing.
Something is going wrong in Chicago, and it isn't going to end well. And it definitely will not end with both the coach and the quarterback being there next year.
That's a big statement from Greeny. Yeah, I don't know, it definitely won't end with one of the two not here.
I don't know if he could, if he could have a do-over. Maybe he takes that back. I don't know. Maybe because they were going into break. Maybe he was just trying to wrap up a segment. Because I don't think that that's very likely.
Can you text Greeny Abdallah and ask him, did you mean what you said? If you were willing to bet, are you betting that either Trubisky or Nagy won't be back next year?
Do you know what I want to see? I want to see Riley Ridley play before the season's out. For what reason am I not seeing Riley Ridley at this point?
Why not?
I mean, do you know what our draft class looks like right now? The first pick that they made was in the third round, and they traded up for David Montgomery.
And they don't use him, right? And he's averaging, what, 3 yards per carry?
Yeah, something not impressive. Riley Ridley was their pick in the fourth round. Duke Shelley in the sixth round. Kareth White in the seventh
round.
He was just claimed by the Steelers. And Steven Denmark was a second seventh round pick. Now, I get it. You didn't have a first. You didn't have a second. So you better make hay when the sun shines. And by sunshining, I mean you got a pick in the third and fourth round.
Wasn't their second round pick in New England because of Anthony Miller?
Could be.
Let's go to Frank in Naperville. Frankie, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, guys. I've been a Bear fan for about 40 years. The majority of that has been miserable, but I need you to hear me out on something. And this is hopefully you can help me provide an answer for myself and my kids who are in severe depression like the rest of us. But, you know, looking at the performance of the Bears over the years, and specifically in the last few under Pace, one of the things that really drives me crazy is you look at the talent on the team, and other than a couple of the free agents, the high-profile guys like Mack and Hicks, what has his coaching staff, specifically Matt Nagy that he hired and allowed Nagy to bring in his people, what players have they developed over a three-year period that they've been doing this together?
There haven't been much.
And that's the one thing. I mean, I look at it from from anybody that works for a living. You know, I've been fortunate to run a number of businesses, and I have to make good decisions, hire people, train them, develop them, and if they're not trained and developed, I own that, and I'm called on the carpet for it. And now, granted, he was a GM of the year last year because the Bears had a surprisingly good year, but if you're the McCaskies or if you're Sweaty Teddy Phillips sitting in the office in Lake Forest, how do they not think that fans like me and the rest of us who have watched this poop show for 40-plus years, sans a couple good years, how do they think that we're okay with the fact they're not doing the things that their fan base is expected to do on a daily basis in their job? And that's the thing that really, trying to take a step back and looking at it objectively, fellas, that's the real thing that irks a lot of true Bears fans, is that we just don't seem to get a staff like, and granted, I'm using a very successful example in Bill Belichick. But, I mean, look, he even made something out of Shea McClellan. There's got to be a happy medium somewhere, and I appreciate you guys helping me understand why we just can't seem to find it.
Thanks, Frank. I thought this staff was going to be good. We started with Vic Fangio as our defensive coordinator last year, and Matt Nagy won head coach of the year.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Vic was part of was the previous staff. Yeah,
won him over enough to keep him.
Listen,
and then I thought the hiring this year, Pagano was a good one.
They've always said, A, the NFL is a fickle beast. B, staying on top or near the top is as hard or harder than getting to the top in this league. And there are two elements, and we say it all the time. You have to identify talent. You have to develop talent. They've identified guys, and they've paid a price to get those guys for the most part. If you look at the draft picks, you traded up to get Leonard Floyd, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And he has not been good, nor has he been developed.
More recently, you traded up to get Mitch. You traded up to get Anthony Miller. And Anthony had a nice rookie year, but something isn't clicking right now. You traded up to get David Montgomery. I wouldn't write David Montgomery off, but something doesn't work right there.
I still think he's talented, but that goes what he's saying about the coaching staff. Like, well, how in the world did they handpick David Montgomery, and they're so down on Jordan Howard? And that's what we've always preached, Waddle. And say what you want about Jordan Howard, but if you don't deem him your guy, make sure the guy that you get is good.
That's right.
And you can use him, and they haven't done either.
You can always explain change by making sure the replacement is somebody of equal value or
better.
Here's
the offense. Trubisky hasn't gotten any better.
No.
Montgomery hasn't got. I mean, we haven't seen him developed. Allen Robinson is Allen Robinson. Taylor Gabriel is Taylor Gabriel. Anthony Miller has not been developed. Shaheen has not been developed. Charles Leonard Jr. is just the guy. Cody Whitehair has been developed. Nice pick. Nice development. James Daniel
hasn't
sort
developed.
Of, yeah, no, he's not developed. Bobby Massey, I mean, you know, and the funny part is Tariq Cohen's best year may have been under John Fox.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. I mean, it feels like right now, last year we were talking about all the great signings. This year we're talking about how maybe we overrated them and they're not being developed.
Let's go to Kevin in Mount Prospect. You're on ESPN 1000. Let me get the right line here. Hey, Kevin, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Love the show.
Sure.
So, full disclosure, I'm a Dolphins fan. Oh, don't laugh too hard. But I see a lot of similarities with the Bears now than I did when Adam Gase took over with the Dolphins. In that, the Dolphins had that 1 year where they went to the playoffs. Bears went to the playoffs last year. And Miami spent all that money on Ndamukong Suh and Ryan Tannehill. Bears did the same thing with, you know, blowing their draft picks, and I just see this not ending well at all and basically having to tear it all down like Miami's is. Thanks, guys.
Yeah,
that's why, and, you know, I'm glad he brought that up because I was thinking about this last night about the Khalil Mack topic. There's this group now. Not only that he thinks it's a bad trade, but do you consider trading Khalil Mack for draft equity? If you do trade Khalil Mack, aren't you back in rebuilding mode?
Yeah.
Because you don't have a quarterback, and then your best player is gone. What do you have, really, if you don't have Khalil Mack as the anchor to that defense?
I'm not trading him. I mean, you have a guy who's on a Hall of Fame arc, who plays the second most important position in the game. And he plays it, as I said, at a Hall of Fame caliber level. Has he gotten to the quarterback as much as we'd like recently? No. He's being game planned against. Would I still like to see him get there? Yes. Do I think that he can play better? Yeah, I do. But I'm happy with Khalil Mack being the centerpiece of my defense.
And the defense is still good.
17 not, points they gave up not, Sunday night.
It's not great or the best in the league like it was last year, but this is still a defense you can win with and go to
right.
the playoffs. And if you've got a competent offense in any way.
Especially in 2019. This is not, you know, 85.
Well,
this defense will never be compared, you know, successfully against the 85 defense. But in 2019, the way offenses are catered to, if you've got a defense that consistently holds the opponent to 16, 17, 18 points, you should be winning 10 games a year.
But, Waddle, the argument is that because it's 2019 and the ball is coming out so fast and coaches make the adjustment that Sean McVay did, that the edge rusher, the position that Khalil Mack plays is still valuable, but maybe not the value that you have to have the absolute best player in the league to be successful because of the way offenses are adjusting for it. Not saying that he's not a great player and not saying that the Bears should trade him, but that's the argument that people are making, that if you can get a team that's going to give you the same value that you got for him because they still feel that they have a need for him, then why not go out? Because you could still be a very successful defense without Khalil Mack.
It's a valid argument, but my retort would be the ball's been coming out quick for years. Ball came out quick last year, didn't it?
Yes.
And I mean,
you have to have guys who crush for the quarterback.
Listen, it's the ball's coming out quick ever since the West Coast offense has been part of the league. And now you see more wide receiver screens now than you ever did before. But I mean, I'm
got
not trading
stats.
Khalil Mack.
I want to go over the Khalil Mack stats coming up in our next segment because it was interesting. Everyone keeps saying he's had a bad game, and I want you to think in your head, how many times do you believe Khalil Mack rushed the passer on Sunday Night Football? Let's go to Tom in Oak Lawn. You're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Tommy.
Hi, good evening. So
all week, pretty much all season, we've all been hearing and talking about how bad Trubisky's been playing, the offensive line, the tight ends are terrible, blah, blah, blah. And now the season's pretty much a wash. And I'm going to try to be optimistic that they're a mediocre football team and look forward to next year. So my question to you and to Tom, who played the game, could the coach be having a sophomore slump himself as coach?
Yes.
Okay. This disregarding the play of the quarterback and the linemen and whomever, could the coach himself, because correct me if I'm wrong, he's never been a head coach and he's never been a head coach in the NFL. I couldn't even imagine what that's like. Well, let alone it's gotta be really tough. And, so that's my question. I like the man. I don't like what he's been doing, and listening to you guys talk and other people call in, everybody makes sense. Like, why is he doing this? Why is he doing that? And I don't know. Could it be a slump for the coach? And I'm not saying get rid of him. I mean, maybe things will get better for him next year. I don't know. I don't know the answer.
It could be. It could be, Tom. And thanks for the call. Listen, we may find out over the course of the next year or so that maybe Matt's not a great play caller. I mean, I'm not trying to bring, you know, an even darker cloud overhead right now, but what evidence do you have that he's a great play caller like Andy Reid? Now, Andy Reid's got more talent to work with, but where's the evidence that...
You don't. He is,
I mean,
very...
I think it's a fair question to ask. Is Matt Nagy a real good play caller? Is he a good play caller? I mean, I don't think the body of evidence...
Well, when you only run the ball seven times in a game when your quarterback is hurt, and you run an option on third and one with a banged-up quarterback, I mean, are those plays now, that a good play caller calls?
That's a really good question. I'll ask you as well. You have a tight end-centric offense, right? None of your tight ends are giving you anything.
Right.
You have an inaccurate quarterback throwing to a bunch of guys with small catch radiuses.
Yeah, this isn't the chicken or the egg.
It's a recipe for disaster. I've got a quarterback who isn't accurate, and I've got a 5'8" receiver on one side, a 5'7" running back on another side.
5'7", I think, maybe generous.
5'6". Now, I'm not making height jokes. What I'm saying to you is I've got a quarterback that struggles with accuracy. I've got short guys that don't have a large catch radius. You're asking for trouble, aren't you?
Yeah, it's a great point. All right, wait till you hear these Khalil Mack stats. Did Khalil Mack really have a bad game? Guess in your mind how many times he rushed the quarterback, plus the latest and greatest entries in the holiday parody song contest.
Nice. Don't miss your chance to watch Big Ten football at Ryan Field this fall. Northwestern football host Minnesota this Saturday. And the season finale. Buy tickets now at NUSports.com. Okay.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
This is Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
It's beginning to look a lot like Mitch sucks. Every game he blows. Bears fans are scared as Matt Nagy won't admit that the season is over and the team has finally quit. It's beginning to look a lot like Mitch has no clue how to throw. Nagy's visor used to be cool, but now he looks like a fool. Virginia takes naps, Mitch fumbles snaps, and Pace studies film of Mahomes. It's beginning to look a lot like Mitch every game.
What happened to him at the end? He just tailed off.
I think he realized it wasn't as strong as he hoped.
Yeah. Then he just kind
of
quit.
It's like the end of the Rams game.
He just quit.
You know, he got pulled.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good point.
He hurt his hip.
I'm done.
I don't think that was good. The first line was funny, and then
we appreciate Eric Morris's contribution.
Yeah, nice. Thanks. Try, Eric.
Good try, effort. Good effort, good try.
But we've had some great ones. We've really had some. We had a good White Sox one earlier today. And don't forget, it's coming up 2 weeks from, is it tomorrow, Abdallah? The big show out
big
in Bolingbrook?
The show is 2 weeks from tomorrow, but the deadline to submit your songs is 10 days away.
10 days away. Email your holiday parody songs to ESPNHolidayParody@gmail.com. No more than 90 seconds. Make it better than the last one we just heard.
Please do that as well.
And like Abdallah said, a week from Friday is the deadline, November 29th at the end of the show. We'll announce the five finalists on Monday, December 2nd. And then December 4th, which is a Wednesday, Waddle.
Let's get it on.
2 weeks from tomorrow, we'll be at Tailgater Sports Bar and Grill in Bolingbrook.
Yes.
It's all courtesy of Miller Lite. And make sure you're there, even if you don't enter. This is a fun, festive end of the year Waddle and Sylvie show.
Yeah, you're gonna have you're gonna be in better spirits because you're gonna be in a ugly Christmas sweater and not dressed as Mrs. Claus.
Right.
So that'll be an improvement for you.
Do you like that we're not doing these pick-ems and dressing up? Remember, we did that the last
we
couple
did.
Of
I
years.
I think it got a little stale.
Like slutty pilgrim that you were wearing the last couple of years.
Yeah, like, I mean, I still reject.
Sexy. Might be sexy. Yeah. Apologize.
Yeah. I think I caught a cold from wearing that outfit when I wore that up. Maybe next year, you know what, we'll be re-inspired to do it again.
To do the pick-ems. Yeah, I can't pick games worth anything.
I can't either.
Or again, if you're not sure of what you can win in the holiday parody song competition,
I got something for you.
Tell us, Rod Roddy, what you can win.
Well, you will win two trips, not one, but two. The first is a ski trip for two to Crystal Mountain Resort in Thompsonville, Michigan. 3 days, two nights, plus 2 days of skiing and all of your ski rental equipment. A second chance also to see Bears and Packers. Winner will receive tickets and one night hotel accommodations in Green Bay for the Bears and Packers on December 15th.
You can make that like a totally holiday trip where you can go see Bears and Packers, then drive up to Michigan and go to the ski resort for 3 days, two nights. It's a whole holiday getaway, winter wonderland style. So the winner will get that. We've got tires for the second place.
Yeah, winner. Get your tires here.
Well, Cassidy Tire and Service, they're going to hook you up right. Set of four tires, up to $750 value.
That's a nice gift. Plus, I'm sure they'll align those for you and get your alignment right.
And all the runners-up will receive a holiday gift basket from Grand and Western Liquors, along with holiday instant tickets.
There we go.
So if there's something for everyone, make sure you enter again. Holiday parody songs to ESPNHolidayParody@gmail.com.
Do we usually get a ton of submissions late in the contest?
Yeah, we usually get a lot of strong entries the last, I'd say, 3 or 4 days that roll in.
I think what a lot of people like to do is they like to hear the competition. And then they realize what they need to do. Do I need to crank it up a few notches? Or I would suggest to you, give us your best effort regardless of when you send it and what you've heard.
Meller, can you debut another one? Do we have
I can. And this is a very, very good entry from Anthony Cantania.
Okay,
however,
very, very good. Oh.
However, he's disqualified because it is not a holiday song. And this is Pandora's box that you opened,
Waddle. Did I open that yesterday?
You demanded.
He wanted Hips Don't Lie.
He wanted a Shakira-themed parody, but that is prohibitedly against the rules. But that does not mean
we cannot
play.
But I bet you will enjoy it.
Anthony Cantania's excellent entry called Mitch's Hips Don't Lie.
Waddle and Sylvie, Holiday Parody Competition 2019!
Santa Claus!
Never really knew that Mitch could suck like this. He makes a team wanna sign Jeff Driscoll. He can't throw, he can't run, he cannot get first down, so he's done.
Oh, Mitchy, when you play like that, you make Coach Nagy go mad. So sit down, grab a clipboard. We used to like watching, now we're bored. Sideline tonight, and his hips don't fly, and he's surely not looking right. Mechanics, don't panic. These Bears games are ending traumatic.
Happy holidays, Chicago.
I love it.
I'm not gonna lie.
I just seemed to say Santa Claus in the middle of it, and they did it.
If that was a Christmas song, it might be the winner.
Yeah.
That was so good. It's the voice.
Creativity.
Was so good.
Creativity.
I think
right
we play that like every day for the remainder of the 2019 season.
Was it my ears, or could you not understand all the words, though?
Yeah, the middle lyrics were a little tough.
That's Shakira, though.
That's true. I think the more you listen to it, the more you'll recognize what they're saying.
She sounds like a female Hispanic Kermit the Frog. That's what Shakira sounds like.
So like Pat Mahomes?
I mean, is Pat Mahomes a Hispanic female Kermit the Frog?
No, but doesn't he sound like Kermit the Frog?
Yes. When we lost Tyreek Hill last night, it really cut down on our ability to make big plays out there. But you know what? We still came away. It was a great trip to Mexico, and...
There's a thank you for your service commercial with him now for the armed forces, and I laughed through the whole thing. It's like, thank you for your service. This I wouldn't be in the NFL without you.
We have just uncovered and debuted Waddle's new segment. Waddle does his Patrick Mahomes impression.
You've never done an impersonation in 13 years.
I didn't know that I had it in
me. Stumble into something really? Good.
It's a weekly segment now. I don't guarantee it.
Really?
Yes. We're going to do this.
And I had to do it with tears in my eyes because I want him as my quarterback.
I think that's the point. Like, if Patrick Mahomes was the Bears quarterback, what would it sound like this week after we just played the Giants and then Waddle can do that?
I think we really had a great game plan for the Giants.
I don't know.
Taylor Gabriel, a couple of times. I can't do it. You do it.
Jesus' catch radius is non-existent. I got to really put it between the numbers for him or else we're never going to complete a pass.
There's a little Dennis Miller in there, too, which is kind of weird.
That was good. That was really good. All right. I got this Khalil Mack stuff, and then we'll get back to some calls. Anything else we should debut, or do you want to do?
I do. Why don't you give the Mack stats, and then we'll play one before we break here.
Waddle, there was this article that someone wrote for the Rams named Cameron DeSilva. Cameron DeSilva. And this is for a Rams blog. Is that right, Abdallah?
Yeah, it's called Rams Wire. Rams Line or Rams Wire? Rams Wire, I believe.
You saw a Rams blog or something like that. Waddle took his takeaway was how great McVay coached his team to do what they wanted to do.
Here's the headline. Rams film room. Why McVay, not the O-line, deserves credit for neutralizing Khalil Mack.
And it's all about going again to your strengths. Goff's been miserable. They ran to Gurley. Even though he fumbled early, they stayed with the run. They did what they had to do to beat the Bears. Right? There it
is. Yeah, so he made the adjustments necessary to give his team the best chance to win, all things considered.
And that's a great point. One of my takeaways from this article was, you know, Khalil Mack has been sort of in the focus because he hasn't been flashing in these games. And something that they did look at the film is Goff dropped back to pass 19 times. He scrambled once and he threw the ball 18 times. So in those 19 dropbacks, Khalil Mack rushed the passer 6 times. That's it. 6 times he was in coverage, 7 times they were screen passes, 4 times where he could not rush, and he was not on the field of those 19 dropbacks 4 times. So we're talking about Khalil Mack trying to make an impact in 6 true dropbacks.
Yes, and think about this. You can't tell me that Sean McVay didn't specifically have Jared Goff audible to a pass play when you notice he's off the field.
Right. Or that's maybe coaching. Going into coverage.
Right.
That's, you know, sniff out the way they're lining up.
That's coaching. That's a coach so and a quarterback being on the same page.
My question to you is, and I love the guy, but I want him to do something too. Is it unfair to say that Khalil Mack's not doing anything when you read that stuff?
Well, I mean, he may not be being put, like, coaching is about putting guys in the right position to take advantage of their skill set and to give them the best opportunity to succeed. I mean, how many times do you want Khalil Mack dropping back? I mean, sometimes he's going to have to because he's an outside linebacker for the most part, and he's going to have flat responsibility every now and again. Do you want him dropping back that much? I don't know. I think that once teams start recognizing him dropping into coverage, you know, that's when you actually decide to dial up more plays, or when you see him on the sideline, that's when you're like dialing up the pass plays.
Now, last week I brought it up. I said, I don't remember that from last year. And a lot of people tweeted me saying, Sylvie, Fangio did that a lot. So that doesn't seem like a good recipe to get pressure on the quarterback.
And at the end of the conversation, Khalil Mack has not had a real impact on some of these games. Now, you can argue that he's being doubled, he's being tripled, and truthfully, what is happening or what is not happening is other guys on that defensive line or in that front seven aren't taking advantage of their one-on-one opportunities.
Let's go to another Kevin in Mount Prospect. Kev, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys, appreciate the show. I know this is going to sound crazy, but a lot of talk has been about, you know, is Nagy know what he's doing when he's calling plays, and it's just really weird and strange, you know, what he's been doing lately. Why not let Mitch call his own plays to see if he's learned anything.
Oh,
maybe Mitch, maybe Mitch goes at this a little bit differently because he's the one that's going to be standing out there reading everything, and maybe he sees it differently than Nagy sees it from the sideline.
No, I would vote against that. What I would vote for, as I have in the past, is what I would vote for is up-tempo. And maybe he does have some input into what's going on at that point.
Like, his reading and reacting is really bad right now.
Right.
And, like, the option play was a bad call, but Chris Collinsworth pointed out how he didn't run the option right.
Didn't run it correctly.
He didn't run it correctly.
And there are other instances where, you know, you see plays develop and you're wondering, why is Mitch looking left instead of right? Can the play really be designed in that manner? No, I would like to see them run more up-tempo stuff.
Yeah.
Less thinking, more playing. And I think that that's something we've seen in spurts and get him out on the edge some. And it's something that Dan Orlovsky, I think, talked about this morning as well.
Mitchell in Des Plaines joins us. Mitchell, what's up?
What's going on, guys? First of all, let's just come out and say that not everyone gets a trophy, okay? And Trubisky stock is sinking like a Titanic. So, you know, you're going to see some severe losses in the next 6 weeks. The bottom line that I'd like to bring to your attention, folks, is that this disturbing hug or this meeting they had on Sunday night with Nagy and Trubisky, there's an underlying theme that nobody's talked about. First of all, it's a completely a ruse, the fact that Daniel Chase was warming up. That there's a million cameras on Sunday Night Football, and they didn't catch it. So that was a giant lie, number one. Nagy's a big liar. Number two, when you look at the fact that, you know, the coach has to put his arms around Trubisky and have, like, this weird, like, I'm the psychologist and you're my patient on a sideline in a professional NFL game. Can you imagine Mike Ditka doing this to Jim McMahon in 1982 and saying, hey, Jim, you know, you're not having a good time here. Things aren't working out. I'm going to go to Ben Sevens for a while. Is that okay? That would never happen. I mean, these athletes got to grow up. You know, I told you this, Mark, 3 years ago, that you're beta testing Trubisky. And the bottom line is that here's the big rub, okay? This is the big deal. The amount of blame is going to be spread across, like a risk management, okay, across the team. Because the powers to be in Team Nagy and Ryan Pace, their ego and arrogance is so systemically bad, it's so over the top, that they're not willing to say, hey, look, I made a mistake. Okay, so you have this disturbing hug with Nagy and Trubisky, like a four-year-old. I think I told you that when I first called you 3 years ago. It's like he's like a four-year-old Trubisky. Like there's some kind of weirdness. You know, normal NFL Chicago Bear quarterbacks in the past, they've had their own, you know, radio shows and TV shows. Trubisky, there's no way. There's 50 people around him just to, hey, get him to complete a sentence.
Well, I will say this, Mitchell.
And I love that you call me by my first name.
I think, Mitchell, that it is a sign that they know that the quarterback
he's
has
fragile.
Zero confidence and being fragile as a result of that.
I'm with him, believe it or not. Like what was the need for that big thing there? Mitch, you're too banged up now. We're sitting you down. That's it. What else? Like, you could have a talk at his locker afterwards. Like, unless it was more than what they said.
I think what the coach realized is at that moment, he knew what it was going to look like. I mean, that's the only explanation I have, that he knew that this was going to be kind of a monumental moment, and maybe he's saying to the kid,
but not
hey,
if
listen.
He's really sitting him down for a bad hip. You say, Mitch, you're not doing what you want us to do. You're doing everything we're asking you to do. You're risking your body. We got to sit you right
now. Well, that's why I think it's a combination of both. I think it's a combination that the hip was bothering him also. It wasn't working. And, oh, by the way, you lost your right tackle as well, so we can't protect you.
Yeah. I want to play a few more holiday parody songs. We got a good White Sox one, too, and Mellor wants to debut another one.
Guys, you've heard me talk about avoiding those off-the-rack suits and the headache of countless alterations. Don't waste your time or your money on something like that, and don't stand in the corner with that big baggy suit looking goofy. All right, take my advice and go experience True Custom. I'm talking about Enzo Custom. Enzo makes beautiful fitting suits for your specific shape and size. You walk into the building, an expert tailor is going to take like 30 measurements. They're going to listen to you so you get the fit and the style that you're looking for. All right, thousands of fabrics you can choose from. The reps will walk you through the process. It's very friendly. It's very easy. And then they have all of your measurements on file. And then if you want a new suit, then you just go in and you pick different fabrics.
Do you know, too, they custom make your shirt?
Yes.
I've never had a shirt that truly fits me.
Well, and the funny thing is some people, I mean, this is an odd, one arm may be longer than the other. And for me, because I've had an inch of my right collarbone removed, my right shoulder slopes.
How much longer is your left arm now than your right arm?
I don't know specifically, but when they do measure me, my right shoulder slopes because I'm missing an inch of my right collarbone. So I have to go in and have my jacket and my shirts measured specifically for me.
And you know, in the recorded commercial, people make fun of me because I say I'm a man baby. But it's true. Like, I get dressed like a baby. I get my clothes laid out for me by my wife, and she's like, wear that style. I don't know style. You know, no style? Enzo.
Good point there.
Enzo, no style.
And listen, the experience is super quick and straightforward. And as you mentioned, very affordable. The custom suits start at just $495. The shirts, they're just $95. Trust me, on Enzo Custom, schedule a free consultation online today. Very simple. Do yourself a favor. Tell them Waddle and Sylvie sent you, and you're going to get $50 off your first custom order. That's EnzoCustom.com.
All right. More holiday parody songs, more of your Bears calls. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
In the commercial script, Sylvie read it wrong. It was supposed to sound different. He forgot to add a pause after man.
You know, like man, baby.
Listeners laughing, especially Cappy. That's Sylvie's misspoken phrase. We're all glad Sylvie's got good posture these days.
Boy, got a good posture working these days, Waddle.
Sylvie is.
Sing along now.
Sylvie is a man baby.
I'm a man baby.
He loves his clothes. Waddle told him so.
I told you so.
Just go online to Enzo.
Tell them Waddle and Sylvie sent you. I'm a man, baby.
I would hope that Enzo Custom appreciates that they are now included in the Waddle and Sylvie holiday parody
song
contest. It's
unmemorable. Who was that? That was quite creative, quite inside, but quite creative.
Yeah, that was courtesy of Adam Bain.
Okay.
Silver Bells. Sylvie's a man, baby.
And again, like, and I love, I'm good to make fun of me all you want. I'm here for you for that. But I meant to say I'm a man, baby. Like, if I think it's a line from the Fockers or one of those movies.
Yeah, I did.
You meant to say Fockers, right?
Fockers. I had not heard the term before, but I understand the term.
I'm like a man child, a man baby. I'm not a man, comma baby.
I've heard.
I'm a man. I wasn't going Austin Powers and trying to say I'm a man, baby. No, I'm a child. I have no style.
But I've heard the phrase man child before. That's kind of like a really big kid, right?
Or like Shaq would be like, you know, or like someone who's, you know, quite.
I have not heard man baby before.
I used to.
I like it. I like when you make up words.
In my posture.
When did you first heard that? Where did you hear that?
I've always heard it. I think
really?
I heard it, like, again, from a De Niro movie used that term, I think.
Man, baby. Godfather?
Huh?
It's Goodfellas.
I don't think it was mom.
Is it Goodfellas? No.
No.
Was it joking? Definitely not those De Niro movies.
I just put man baby into Wikipedia or the Wiktionary.
Yeah, the Wiktionary, and what did it come up with?
A childishly whiny man.
Yeah.
I swear to God.
There you go.
Man baby, a childishly whiny man.
Well, I mean, if anything describes me, that describes me. I'm a man baby. I'm a whiner. I don't have any style. I need someone to lay out my clothes for me, and Enzo does that.
Wow, this is like...
See?
And the sentence that it's used in is like,
I can't read
it. Did
someone just enter that because of the commercial?
I don't know.
Recently. All right, do we have any more that we want to play, or should I grab a phone call here?
Well, you promised the White Sox one. Yes. So we have
a really good White Sox entry. I like this.
White Sox.
Yes.
White
Sox. So this is from Jerry Reinsdorf's point of view, and this is about, remember, this is one of the big free agency years, and it's perfect because there are so many big names available on free agency.
And they have very little cash spent on the books right now.
Right.
Guys. They got space.
They have lots of room. They have a team ready to win, and you have all these free agents ready to go, and someone did that. Who's this by?
This is by Chris Bainbridge to I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas.
So what would you like under the tree this year, Mr. Reinsdorf? I want D.D. Gregorius for Christmas. Only D.D. Gregorius will do. No Garrett Cole or Anthony Rendon will get D.D. Gregorius and leave those guys alone. Oh, Strasburg, Wheeler, Castellanos, Mad Bum, and Grandal. We sure won't pay for those guys, and in spite of all my lies, I know the Sox will be at home next fall. I want D.D. Gregorius for Christmas. Only D.D. Gregorius will do. No pricey guys for Williams and Rick Hahn. We'll get D.D. Gregorius, who just had Tommy John. I want D.D. Gregorius for Christmas. Only D.D. Gregorius will do. No Dallas Keuchels or Mike Moustakas's. We'll only get D.D. Gregorius's. Another Adam Dunn would be nice too.
Oh, that's good. That's well written.
Yes,
well played. It's
creative.
Yes.
Good stuff.
I like that.
And true.
Yeah.
And probably true.
By the way, I will have a breakdown of the Hurricanes and Blackhawks from tonight, tomorrow.
Will you be live tweeting the game tonight? Can we catch you?
I may. Mr. Dangles may make an appearance.
Okay, so make sure you're following Waddle on Twitter at TWaddle87. Waddle will be live tweeting the Blackhawks to see if they can continue their win streak. As they are at home tonight against the
Hurricanes. I'm not going to make any promises, but I'm going to try.
At least we'll be breaking down Pat Boyle's mustache frame by frame.
Burt Reynolds. I think he is back from the grave. It's Burt Reynolds.
Dan Orlovsky will lead off the postgame show. Had lots of good stuff about Mitch, and he's angry at the coach. Less at Mitch, more at the coach. Listen to Orlovsky coming up next.
Do you have a final tally on your web poll question today about what our prediction is? Maybe we'll give that to the fans tomorrow.
Maybe, because I just signed off at Twitter.
Okay, we'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah. Thank you to Tim Hasselbeck and Trey Wingo, the only guests we needed. And then we've got Northwestern basketball coming up at 6:45. Thanks to Meller and Abdallah. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Tuesday night.
Was fun stuff. That's fun stuff.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all and to all a good night.